The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from 2 Samuel. Now when David the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went. I have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever.'" Word of God, word of life. Now let us pray Luke 1, verses 46 through 55 responsively. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your holy servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed.
You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name.
You have mercy on those who fear you from
generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy.
The promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from Romans. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a woman engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
This is impossible. It's only a week till Christmas. I haven't mailed any of my packages to my family. I haven't sent any Christmas cards to my friends. I haven't gotten the gift for the gift exchange tonight. I haven't put up one single decoration in my house. It's impossible. How can it be? It's only a week till Christmas. I don't think I'm the only one who finds herself or himself a bit like Mary today. Perplexed, surprised, afraid, wondering, how can this be? But here we are. And I think this is what Advent's supposed to be. Week by week, we watch the lights get stronger and brighter as we light more candles on the wreath. We find ourselves making this transition, this Advent transition, from self-absorbed to transparent, from virgin to pregnant, from I can't to God will. The gospel on this fourth Sunday of Advent invites us to make that radical transformation in just a few verses. We travel on that road made smooth and evened out during these first weeks of Advent, and we move from a young girl at Nazareth to the Mother of God. We move from ordinary Mary to extraordinary, a prophet. We move from confusion, pondering and perplexed, to confession, profound. This is how we get to go from Advent to Christmas. This is the transition that we must make in these wonderful days before Christmas. It's impossible. But Mary's story moves us from who we think we are to who God thinks we are. We move on this highway that has been prepared, walking patiently, waiting patiently, as we become disciples proclaiming God's mighty deeds in our midst. This is impossible. It's just us. But the fourth Sunday of Advent demands that we stand up and acknowledge the transformation that God has done in us. Now, we've heard this song of Mary. We've heard this story about Mary and the angel maybe too many times. Maybe we are tempted to just leave it as a story. It's a nice seasonal story that we pick up this time of year to make us feel good, like A Wonderful Life, or A White Christmas, or a Charlie Brown special. We watch these stories at this time of year, and we love those familiar favorites. But this isn't just a familiar favorite. This isn't just a seasonal special. This is God's word. This is God's word for us. It's a promise. It's the promise of Christmas. And that promise is that we hear this word, that we hear that this promise is for us. It's impossible. But think about it. Think about this. Do you think that God is still interrupting people's lives? Do you think that God is finished using the people for the good of the world? Or maybe God is still doing things just like this. We should look around at the people in our lives, in our families, in our congregation, in our neighborhoods, and see those people, the person you're sitting next to right now, favored by God. A person whom God plans to do marvelous things. Probably not as marvelous as conceiving a son who is the Son of God, but that's already been done, so you don't have to worry about that. But think about the wonderful things, the marvelous things that God wants to accomplish through us. So many things that we cannot begin to count, those wonderful things that God has planned to do through you. It's impossible, you say? Well, the truth is that you are exactly in the right place, that you have exactly the right gifts that God wants to use to do these marvelous things, that God will accomplish through you, that God will accomplish because of you. But here's the thing. Like Mary, we are by turns confused, perplexed, even afraid. Afraid that God does do marvelous things through us. Afraid that God has favored us. And that God will expect a response to those wonderful things that God will accomplish through us. But listen to this truth. You are favored by God. Indeed, God wants to do great things through you. What might that be? What great thing is God going to do through you today and in the week to come and in the year to come? What great thing is God going to do through you? What wonders will God work in you in the coming year? You are favored by God. God wants to do great things through you. Now, I would guess that you all believe in God. That's probably a given since you're sitting in church, that you do believe in God. But do you really believe that God is still active in the world? Do you believe that this scripture message is really for you, not just a seasonal special, that this is your word? You are favored. It's impossible, it seems, that God is active in the world, still working in the world, even through you and through me. Even though we don't understand how, or even think about very often, how God is at work in us and in our world, we still can answer, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." If you take your bulletin and turn to page 7, the bottom of that page, David Loos is a theologian at Luther Seminary, and he suggested that we use this dialogue today. You read the bold sentences, I'll read the others. "Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you and intends to do great things through you.
How is he? We are ordinary, everyday people.
Yet you have found favor through God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, guide you, and work through you to care for this world and people that God loves so much. For nothing is impossible with God. It seems impossible, but the truth is, the promise is, that you have been noticed by God. You are favored and loved. Through your baptism, God has put you at work in the world. You are favored and loved by God. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Amen."